how to do it smartly and cheaply. My guests are Aisha Bryant. She's the general manager with Ace Hardware Stores, and interior artist Danielle Kelly. If you have questions about do-it-yourself projects inside the house or outside, perhaps in the backyard or with your lawn, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Aisha and Danielle, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Great.
Thank you for having
me. Aisha, are you there?
Yeah,
there you are. Aisha, let me start with you, because you know you're old hat on the Daily Drum. What has it been like over the past several months, particularly during the shutdown, when people were starting to look at working on do-it-yourself products? Pretty busy?
Absolutely. The pandemic definitely brought a lot more people into the store, obviously, with hand sanitizing items and just sanitizing items to start. But then once people settled in and realized that they were going to be at home for the long haul, we had a lot of people come in for outdoor lawn types of renovations, a lot of people attempting to get things ready to cool the home for the hot summer months. So we definitely saw an uptick in our sales and just the amount of people that come into the store.
What's the thing that surprised you the most outside of the, obviously, the pandemic supplies, the cleaning supplies, but for home projects, what's the thing that made you say, hey?
Definitely the outdoor items. So we have a 14,000-square-foot facility over in Capitol Hill that has a very large garden center and a very large indoor space that we do a lot of indoor plants. So we saw a lot of people come in for bags and bags of mulch and bags of soil and a lot of interactions with wives that had plans that husbands had to follow through on. So definitely... So we definitely saw a lot of that, but just a lot of people trying to educate themselves on what's best to keep the air as clean as possible indoors. So mm-hmm. we had a lot of air purifying plants that we pushed during that time, and just a lot of outdoor items that, you know, a lot of people, typically the folks that would not do a lot of edible gardening outside, we saw a very high uptick in that. So a lot of herbs, a lot of tomatoes, a lot of people attempting to do some at-home gardening so they could avoid having to visit the farmers markets and the grocery stores.
That makes a lot of sense. Danielle, what have you been most focused on during the past several months?
You know, honestly, I've been trying to help people get themselves work and life balance in the home. So home offices, children living in study spaces have become like a super essential. And obviously with the restrictions that were going on, people have to do it themselves. So just responding to text messages and emails and Instagram, I can't tell you how many DMs I've gotten like, hey, can you tell me where you got this in this picture? I need it. Help. So that's been my focus.
What's the most common thing?
I would say home offices and children living spaces. So trying to find a way to make one room function as both. So I got a lot of requests on what should I do with my child's bed because I need to fit a desk in the room, but we can't fit it. So I suggested, you know, why don't you get a bunk bed that has a free space in the bottom and you put the desk under there and they sleep up top, because most children until the age of, you know, 15 can probably swing it.
How about that? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about do-it-yourself projects. Big surge over the past 3 months or so. A lot of folks working from home and working on their homes, and it has not stopped. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kay, calling from Randallstown. Kay, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
So I was calling to find out. We recently got a home about a year ago, and we wanted to try to grill this year, but we don't have a good area in the yard to grill. So I'm wondering if you guys have any suggestions about maybe something I could build or buy to accommodate getting a grill in the yard.
When you say you don't have a good area to grill, what makes you say that?
Well, so there's a paved walkway from the front to the back of the yard, but it's close to the house. And I think that would be putting a grill on it would be putting it too close to the house.
Okay. Aisha, any ideas?
So you definitely want to stay away from charcoal. That'll be step number one, because that's an igniter.
Okay.
Propane is easier to manage, but it also cooks the food a lot faster. Now, I am not a chef, and I am not a cook, so
I can help you with that, but go ahead.
Yeah. But as far as from a safety standpoint, you can control the amount of propane that comes through your propane tank, so that would be a lot easier to control. But as far as it being too close to the home, you definitely just want to keep an eye out on it. Don't put anything in front of it or behind it that's going to cause that air to kind of trap in.
Yeah, okay.
You don't, other than the walkway, I mean, you don't have a patio or anything like that?
No, there's a sunroom, but it's enclosed, so obviously not there. And I was just thinking possibly to maybe build something on the, you know, on the grass, maybe like a platform that I could sit it on. That's what's coming to mind, but I've never done it before. So
what about building a barbecue platform, Danielle? Any thoughts about that?
Well, if you have the space, that would certainly be my idea, is to build something out in a way. I would also suggest maybe perhaps getting a portable grill, something that's not so permanent, and you can kind of test out your area first away from the house and see what's comfortable for you before you commit to building, because that's a really substantial project. It can be. So try with a portable, get your comfort level, what makes you feel good, and then maybe build out from there.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Kay, for giving us a call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's start in the house. One of the things that a lot of people have been looking into, you know, for example, fans, specifically ceiling fans. Aisha, how do you pick a ceiling fan for a given room?
So a typical ceiling fan is going to have basically the same measurements. A lot of it is aesthetics. So you don't want something that is not going to fit that room. And, you know, the other young lady on the line, she can speak to that part of it. But a lot of people don't realize that most fans have a setting on the side that allows it to go in one direction or the other. So in the summer months, you want it to go counterclockwise, so you would literally move the notch down to allow it to go counterclockwise so that the air moves down, and so that will cool the space a lot better. But for the most part, a lot of ceiling fans and things of that nature, you want to keep it in areas where, or keep a fan that's in the window away from the prevailing wind. And if you have a two-story home and you want to, on a day where it's, you know, 75 to 80 degrees and you don't want to necessarily run your air conditioner, the area in the lower level of the home, you can open those windows and close the ones on the top so that the air circulates better with all of the fans that are running throughout your home.
Danielle, your thoughts about ceiling fans?
Ceiling fans can be great. I definitely suggest a modernized one. One of my favorite websites actually would be lumens.com. They have amazing fans, and they can really help you find the size you need.
What's that website again?
Lumens, L-U-M-E-N-S.com.
Mm-hmm.
So like, let's say you're, most people want a ceiling fan in bedrooms. Bedrooms tend to be about, let's say, 175 square feet. So you're going to want to go with a ceiling fan that's going to have a blade span of 42 to 48 inches. That's not each blade now, because that's really big. That's the whole fan, okay? So you want to make sure you do that. Have it professionally installed as well, because ceiling fans can tend to have more wires than an average light fixture. So I would suggest that you have it professionally installed. Check out lumens.com, figure out how big your room is, and pick a really modern fan, a nice one.
Okay. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about do-it-yourself projects inside and outside of your home, how to do it right, and how to do it on the cheap. What you mentioned, Aisha, also about plants. Did you air cleaning, air filtering plants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have, they're called waves, and so those will purify the air. We have several different types in our indoor shop, and it's called Foliage by Fragers, and it's located on Pennsylvania Avenue in Capitol Hill. And it's 1,000 square feet. It has a ton of different air purifying plants and macrames that you can hang from the ceiling. So we carry a lot of different, like, air plants and just a lot of different items that would definitely make the air a lot cleaner for you.
Yeah, I was about to ask, what is an air purifying plant?
So
how does that work?
So it is a plant that keeps the like dust and particles and things like that to a minimum.
Okay.
So if you are someone who, you know, burns a lot of candles or, you know, has some things in the house that typically would cause some dust to kick up, those plants would help in that situation. But also, obviously, changing your filter in your air conditioning unit, things of that nature, can also work to your advantage.
Interesting. I'm going to take a break in just a little bit, but before I do, any resources that either of you would like to share with us? Lumens.com, not a bad idea. Danielle, any other information that you'd like to share, including perhaps where somebody may be able to find you?
Absolutely. I can be found on my website, www.daniellekelly.art. I can also be found on Instagram at daniellekellyart. And I have a new video web series that will be releasing on August 5th called Domestic Drips with Danielle. And I will be talking about how to do home improvement yourself, specifically for my millennials, to make sure that we are growing in an age where we know how to take care of ourselves and our homes to the best of our abilities.
Sounds good to me. Aisha, any resources you want to drop on us real quick before the break?
Yeah, we have a website, acehardwaredc.com, 13 stores in the DMV. We have an e-commerce site through that acehardwaredc.com site. We do curbside pickup. Many of our stores have a text message line that you can text anyone in the store to get information, and the text line at the location in Capitol Hill for Fragers Hardware is 202-217-0977, and so you can text any question that you have or any product that you you're interested in, and six people are dedicated to that to answer your questions.
Wow, that sounds really, really great. I really appreciate that information. Listen, we're going to take a break in just a bit, but we are going to be back to talk about do-it-yourself projects, including what to do about your doors and floors and paint. I don't like painting. Ugh. But we're going to talk about that. Stay with us. Don't forget, you can hear this and every discussion via podcast on WHUR.com. We post it before 9 p.m. every night. Now, the Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We'll be back in just a few seconds. The original Quiet Storm is next on WHUR. That conversation will continue on SiriusXM in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're continuing our discussion about do-it-yourself home projects inside and out. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Aisha, let's talk a little bit about summer projects because we are really at the beginning of the summer. What should people be looking at right now?
Talked about before, making sure, you know, your ceiling fans are dusted and cleared of any dust that may have sat during the spring and winter months when it wasn't in use. Definitely look into changing the window treatment. So if you currently have a lighter shade of drapes, you want to go to a medium to dark in order to keep the sunlight out and to keep the temperature in your home cool. If you have a central air conditioning unit, you want to make sure that that unit that's outside is free of any debris. So any leaves that may have, gotten trapped in there, or any twigs or anything that may have fallen near or around, you want to clear that area so it's operating properly. Definitely check all of your air filters. The most popular and most efficient is going to be anything HEPA, and those will allow for the clean air to kind of be filtered in and filter out any of the debris in the air.
And for you, Danielle, what's the big summer project for you?
Cleaning is always at the top of my list, which is great because it's a good time to clean. I think that when we're talking about ceiling fans and dusting them off and opening up the windows to let the house breathe, which you really want to do for the summer, you really want to make sure that you take the time to clean your windows and clean them really well. Take the screens out, hose them down, get all those allergens and outdoor pollens off of them. So while you're airing out the house and the air is circulating, you're not really drawing any residue off of your screens into your home.
Okay. Yeah, I just went through a big window cleaning myself, and it seems to have really helped me with my allergy. So that's really, really good advice. The other thing, let's talk a little bit about doors. Front doors. Both of you, I would imagine you have some, you know, suggestions about what to do with, you know, with your doors, you know, now that the weather is warming up, about cleaning and decorating. Who wants to jump in?
Well, it's from an insulation standpoint, you want to do some of the same things that you would do in the wintertime to keep the home warm in the winter and cooler in the summer months. So a lot of people use something called a draft buster that is basically something you put under your door, and it slides under the door on both ends of the door, and it allows there to be a barricade from anything that any warm air that may seep through. You also want to insulate, you know, the frame of the door and as well as your windows. You want to make sure that the windows are insulated. You can also use a film, a reflective film, that will keep the air that's warm outside and keep the air that's inside really cool.
And what about, for example, decorating, you know, doors? For example, my door is stainless steel.
Okay.
It's a stainless steel door. I can't paint it. So what do I just have to buy a new door if I want something new? What do I do? Put some flowers around it? I don't know. Paper mache? Well, what do you suggest?
The simple thing would be, yes, put some flowers around it and a little sign that says welcome and you're good to go. if you're up to the challenge, there is a way to paint metal. Stainless steel can be etched and then painted. it is a very timely process, and it's not one you can really strip off. So if you want to change that and have that painted door look, just know you can't go backwards from it as easily as you get to it. The other thing that you'll see a lot of people do, whether they have a metal door, wood door, or a painted door, in the summer months, a nice, simple, clean wreath. Not like the Christmas wreath with pines, like maybe like a brass ring, and you can weave it with ivy and just a little bit of summer flowers, so maybe like a tiger lily, which is my favorite flower, and it really looks beautiful, and they dry very pretty.
Okay. Expensive or not?
It depends. Now, if you're like me and you like tiger lilies, they're a little pricey. But you can always go to Michael's, which always has some type of coupon, 30% off, 40% off, 50% off florals any time of the year.
Okay. Another big thing, I have hardwood floors. A lot of people have, you know, hardwood floors. But let me ask about mine since I have you here. I have the original hardwood floors that were built in this house in 1938.
Ooh.
Red oak.
Ooh.
So what do I do with that?
First of all, beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. I haven't even seen them, and I know. So I think it really is going to come down to what you have the time and the budget for. You can do something as simple as a good steaming and a refresh, so like a lighter polyurethane type of coat, just to give them a nice shine or a buff. Or if you want to completely modernize your home and you have a decent budget, you can strip them and re-stain them. That is going to give you the most impact in terms of a change.
So here's my other issue with, you know, with that, and this is about convenience, because I have them, it's a two-level house. They're all over, and they go up the steps, and I have the original red oak railing. And so, you know, it's not just, you know, a living room or a dining room. I mean, we're talking about the whole daggone house here. And so whether you do it yourself or have somebody doing it, it seems to be such a huge undertaking.
It is.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I agree, right?
Thanks, Aisha. Help me out
it
here.
Is. Hire a professional. But no, for those who cannot, you definitely have to be mindful of the dirt that can trap, because in the summer months, that hardwood can expand, and you know, trapping dirt into those pockets can definitely be harmful for the wood, for sure. So definitely a strict regimen of cleaning when messes occur, or requiring people to take their shoes off at the door, limiting the guests in certain areas of your home, putting down, you know, rugs and things like that could definitely help with that humidity that's going to be caused from a lot of the heat.
Now, what about people who have, I've seen some people put down new floors in their offices, their home offices, and their home rec rooms. Talk to me a little bit about how that's done. I've seen, quite a few handy women on social media, friends of mine, who just blow me out of the water with the kind of skills that they've been able to develop. But if you decide to put down a new hardwood floor, do you put it over the old one? Do you put it over concrete? I have no idea how that's done.
So that depends on where you're putting it. So typically in a basement, the basement is going to have a subfloor or the floor that was there when it was built would be concrete. And so concrete is going to absorb water. So you want to have something in the basement that is either waterproof, or you have to put down something that looks very similar to a trash bag throughout the entire level of that area that you're going to put whatever flooring it is, so that if there were some sort of moisture, the trash bag material would prevent the flooring or very expensive flooring that you're putting down from getting damaged. Now, all throughout your house, your subfloor or the existing floor is a piece of plywood. And so that plywood can have carpet, you can have vinyl, you can have laminate, but you do want to make sure particular rooms have particular types of flooring, because a bathroom with hardwood would not be helpful because you constantly have water. So most people do tile in those areas. But a lot of the best type of flooring for your entire house would be something like a bamboo wood. But those are things that have to cure in your home. So if you were deciding to put your whole house and do it all in bamboo, you have to wait a 48-hour period and have that particular product sit in your home, and it has to be unpackaged and stacked in a crossing method and sit in your home and acclimate to your home for 48 hours and then put it down. That's the most expensive, and then you've got laminate and carpet and vinyl that are going to be the least expensive.
Why is bamboo so good?
It is long-lasting. It is going to be the most natural of the type of wood that you can have in your home. And once you go through that 48-hour acclimation process, that wood will last you for the longevity of your stay and the stay of folks for 10 to 12 years after you're gone.
So you got to let the bamboo get to know your house, so to speak.
Absolutely. Talk to it if you need to. Yeah.
There you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about do-it-yourself projects for your home inside and out. Okay, so let us now get to the dreaded painting issue. Danielle, I want to ask you about that. If someone wants to paint inside the house, kind of give me the painting 101. If the walls already have paint on them, do you just paint over them? What do you do? Give me the rundown.
So that's really going to depend. I should say I started off as a painter and a wall treatment specialist before I grew into an interior artist and designer. I absolutely adore painting. I know you don't like it, but you can call me. Okay, because it can change your whole home. So when you're thinking about painting, the first thing you definitely want to do is make sure that you know the last time your home was painted. If you move into an older home, make sure that there's no lead in the paint. You want to make sure that it's not an oil-based paint, depending on how old the home is, because those require additional steps. For instance, if you have lead in your windowsills, you can go through the trouble of ripping out those trims, or you can encapsulate it with a good encapsulating, which is a step-by-step process. You can get certified yourself to do it, or you can call in a professional. Let's say the house is just ready to go, paint looks like it's been done recently, and there's no major damage to the wall. Before you paint, please make sure that there's no major damage. I like to tell everyone that. Nail holes, all of that. Just take the little extra time and fill them. Sand them down. You'll thank yourself later. I am a big believer in primer. Even if the walls are already done, I enjoy primer because it just gives you the idea of a fresh start, and it makes sure that your paint comes out to be the color that you see it on your swatches.
So, right? What does primer do?
So primer is going to reseal the wall. If there's any moisture or anything like that, you want to get it get it handled. If you're in an older home, homes that, like we talked about earlier, haven't been properly circulated in terms of air, or the windows haven't been open in a while and they need to breathe, you might find that the walls are a little moist, and they have a lot of humidity in the air. So sometimes with priming it, you can kind of help speed up the process of being able to just get right into painting without doing so many coats or running into issues with any type of bubbling or excessive lapping, running slow dry times, anything like that. So once you get started and you start painting, you know, there's people believe in doing this W method. I don't believe in that.
What is a W method?
With the roller, and you make the W, and you go all up and down.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't work really for someone who's not a professional. You will see lap lines, all type of issues if you do it that way. So what I recommend that people do, take a small wall out of the four walls you're going to paint, and cut in one wall at a time. Cutting in means you go around the ceiling, you come down your side connecting wall, you cut across your baseboards, and you finish that square off. Then roll your paint top to finish with a minimum overlap, so maybe about 2 inches, because that last end of your roller doesn't always pick up paint the same way, and continue down the wall in one fair swoop. So get yourself an extension pole if you need it. If you're short and you can't drag your arm from the top to the bottom, just extend those poles out so you get a nice even coat of paint. Also, when you're painting, don't overload the roller, okay? Because that is going to have drips. You're going to have areas where your paint doesn't dry. It's going to cause all types of issues in terms of leveling the paint. Just roll a little bit. It's better to do multiple coats than it is to do one really heavy coat. That's my paint 101.
I totally agree with you.
Wow. Well, after hearing all of that, I really hate painting now. my goodness. So how do you pick a paint for a wall?
Well...
types.
You would,
types of paint. Not sorry? Color, but types.
Oh, types of paint.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So we have several different types of paint. Obviously, this is not obvious, but most people don't realize that all of your trim in your home, it's going to have a semi-gloss sheen. So there are about 6 to 8 different sheens that you can choose from. It goes from flat to eggshell to a kitchen and bath to a pearl to satin, semi-gloss, and to high gloss. More often than not, areas that have a high traffic or have pets or children, you want to stick with something either eggshell or higher, meaning eggshell, satin, or pearl. Because those areas are, those types of sheens are easy to wipe down versus a flat or a mat that you may not be able to scrub as easily. But we do have some matte finishes that are scrubbable. Obviously, with all of the things that a particular paint can do, you will have to spend a little more money if it does more things. But I'll let
Danielle,
Danielle, which rooms are specific? Because a lot of people don't really know that information.
Well, go ahead, Danielle.
Absolutely. So I am a big fan of matte paints or paints with a little less sheen, because I think they're a little bit more modern. So I encourage people to spend a little bit more money on your paint. Benjamin Moore, definitely one of my favorite paint makers. They have a brand called Aura. Their matte is unbelievable. It's so good. It doesn't have shine, and it has a great durability to it. So, you know, in a room where you don't want a lot of sheen, you kind of want the furniture maybe to take more of the notice in the room, like your living room or your bedroom, adult bedroom, I would suggest spending a little bit more money, getting a paint like Aura by Benjamin Moore, and going with a matte finish. And if you really want to modernize the home, you can cover the ceilings, trims, and the baseboards in that and be totally fine. Now, in the bathrooms are different. Kitchens are different. You know, I do recommend at least a satin sheen on that. I know a lot of people aren't really into the high gloss, even though they do offer the durability, but you're going to have to make up for that by buying a more expensive paint. Another really good satin finish paint is C2 Luxe. Oh my goodness, their paints are amazing. And they have a trim paint. And you can go on my Instagram and see my video. I'm telling you, this trim paint, it is beautiful. The satin finish, it doesn't have a lot of sheen. If you're looking for that modern look, you can scrub it, bang it, chip it, scratch it, and it will stay there.
Mm. Is there any rule?
Harold, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Just to plug what she's saying about the Aura, we are, all 13 locations are official dealers of Benmore Paint, so we do carry that Aura that she spoke of.
A little more expensive?
Absolutely. Yes, it is. And we still have...
But we're doing it ourselves, so spend the money on the paint and put in the labor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that. Are there any rules against... And I'm speaking, you know, artistically, against painting ceilings.
Oh no, oh absolutely not! Please paint your. It's 2020. Put tiles on your ceilings. Put patterns on your ceilings. Paint your ceiling black. Have fun with it. Ceilings are the fifth wall. Do not leave them forgotten. By no means.
Okay.
Just stay away from popcorn. I will say that much.
Popcorn. What is popcorn?
So a popcorn ceiling is something that is textured. So most ceilings now are flat and you don't have very smooth and you don't have to worry about it. But if you run into a ceiling that is popcorn and you have purchased this home, get rid of it.
Why is that?
Very hard to paint. You have to have a specific roller in order to do it. And it just isn't something that's really fashionable nowadays.
Because I do, when I purchased this home, there was that, but it's not heavily pebbly. I do know what you're talking about, but it's, you know, so how do you get rid of it? Do you just scrape it or what?
Yeah, you could to scrape it if you want.
If you want to. Boy, I tell you, this show is getting worse and worse by the minute. My goodness. I guess it's better just to buy a new house, huh?
It might be.
Oh, my. Okay. That's so many questions. So talk to me, you know, I have a friend of mine who's a designer, Vanessa, she's probably listening. And I remember a couple of years ago, she posted something on her page about leather or leather-like wall coverings or something similar to it, faux leather. What is that, Danielle?
There is a technique that will give you a leather or a suede look. You can do a suede, or you can do a leather look. If you are renting, this is not the type of commitment your landlord will appreciate, okay? You want to do this only if you own your home, because treatments take a lot to remove. So even if you're a homeowner and you want to make that step to have a wall treatment, which I love, you know, I absolutely adore wall treatments, keep in mind that most wall treatments, like the suede technique or the leather technique, are going to require some form of plaster. And that is going to add a dimension, obviously, to the wall. It's going to give you that beautiful textured finish that you can just reach out and touch that so many people like. But it is a commitment. So if you own your home and you know you want it, do it. By all means, it's beautiful. I am not sure if Ace carries a brand of faux finishing paints, but Modern Masters
is one of my favorites. It's my go-to. They do have some base products, like a Venetian plaster, which if you polish it right can give you a suede feel, but it's a little bit easier for most people to put on initially if you're doing it yourself. You can also go to your local hardware store and talk to them about what faux finishes they carry in stock. Mm.
So here's another question. I feel like this is an episode of This Old House. But you know, one of the things that I've always been interested in doing, but don't know whether or not it can be done, I've always wanted to put tile on the facing of my red oak stairs.
Oh, yes.
Now, can that, keep in mind, I mean, this is upstairs to the bedrooms, downstairs to the living rooms, and the like. How is that done where they will not crack?
So you're definitely going to want to use a floor tile, something that can stand weight. A floor wall tile is probably going to be ideal. So you're looking at maybe a heavier duty ceramic or porcelain, depending on how it's manufactured. But the good thing when you're doing something like that, if you go to your tile store, like the tile shop, or since you're in the DMV area, Architectural Ceramics in Old Town, Tia, go and ask for Tia, okay? Tell her I sent you. She will get you right. She'll let you know. She'll look at your stairs. She'll tell you exactly what tile you can take. And she'll offer you a variety of finishes, meaning something matte, something with sheen, something maybe that picks up on the wood grain, maybe some type of fun pop of pattern, like a chevron or damask, something like that would definitely, with your red floors, I think that would be beautiful.
Yeah, because I do want something that really kind of pops, that kind of stands out, something with, you know, color, indeed, even a different pattern for each facing.
You can really go to town with that. There's no real limit except for the material. And if you speak with an expert, they're really going to be able to give you something that's going to last just as long as the wood.
There you go. Let me write this down. Tia, 70% off. Aisha, I've got about a minute. I'm going to let you have the last word on just what people should keep in mind when they're trying to do it themselves right now as we move into these summer months.
Definitely safety first. A lot of people don't realize how often they went out of town prior to the pandemic that's going on. So make sure you're taking cooler showers, vent the bathroom when you're taking those warm showers, and just try some new things. If you have never drilled a hole, then get you a drill and start with that. But definitely, if anyone has any questions, again, they can use our text line 202-217-0977, and we are willing and able to answer any of your questions, whether they be something that seems small and not make much sense to you, or something very elaborate. But we can definitely point you in the right direction.
Well, I want to thank both of you for giving us a wealth of information, and it's always good for us to increase the value of our home if we are owners, and giving us a little creative splash, even if you're renters. Good ideas are always good ideas. Danielle, I'm going to call you to paint because I'm not doing it.
Yeah, so.
For you. Aisha Bryant, Danielle Kelly, thank you for talking to us. And please, both of you, stay safe. That is the Daily Drum for this Friday, June 26th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green and Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Iron Waller, I am Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.